Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 13, entitled Date of Death. It was written by Brian Buckner, who's worked on Friends as a producer, as well as True Blood, and directed by Christopher Shrew, who has worked on Mr. Robot and Criminal Minds.
Oh, two great resumes.
Yep. I loved Friends. It's on Netflix, and you know, those last few seasons kind of got me off, but I used to, like, quote Friends when I was a kid watching it. Used to always quote them.
Yeah, we love True Blood also.
True Blood until the end, too. Mr. Robot, yeah, it's good. And Criminal Minds, we're big on Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
All right, so we've watched the episode twice. You guys probably already listened to our instant cast. But, Gary, how do you feel after watching it again?
I still feel the same way. Great show. This is like my new Sunday night treat.
I will say yes a little bit, yeah.
I mean, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't know if they have me to the point where I'm like, ooh, I cannot wait. I'm excited for the next episode because it's 2 hours long. It's two episodes back to back, and it's the season finale.
Well, I can't wait.
And it brings us closer to The Walking Dead, but still, it's not like we're, you know, when Game of Thrones is over, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally can't wait till next Sunday. This is like, oh, I can't wait. That's going to look good, but at the same time, throughout the week, I start slowly thinking of other stuff.
Not me.
All right.
Mm-mm, not me.
Well, if this is your first time listening, go back and listen to all of our other stuff. But do know that this feed has The Walking Dead as well as Fear the Walking Dead all on one feed. And the way the podcast works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters, and then we have an award and prediction at the end. You can always email us dead@theverdictsinn.com. or @TheVerdictsInn on Twitter or Facebook.com/VerdictsInn if you'd like to be part of the podcast and give your feedback on what you thought of the episode. So first on our likes list, I have when it comes on, it's showing the people's feet that are coming to the gates. And it ends that same way with showing the bad guys, the three Bromigos, now two Bromigos.
Right.
Showing their feet. And it's like kind of like that mysterious, like, who's that? Whose feet is that? I like that because it started off that way and ended that way.
Yeah. I love the opening scenes. I mean, this had one of the best opening scenes. You know, well, not the best, but coming off last season, I mean, it's pretty damn good.
Not last season, but there was an opening scene earlier this season. Remember, we were like, damn, that was so good. Was it when the man and his family ran away? It was that one, maybe. And then there's been a few good opening scenes where it came on and we're like, whoa, is this Fear of the Walking Dead?
Yeah, the last three.
Yeah, okay. It's been pretty good.
Or four.
All right, so Travis going straight to work after...
I loved it.
His son kills the guy.
Right. It shows Travis, you know, he's in a daze. His son just murdered somebody. But he snapped out of it quick and went straight into action.
And I loved how he took control of the situation.
Right.
I think on that instant cast, I was like, wait, how did the guy die? But I think watching this second time, it's more clear that Nick, after shooting him in the chest, he does finish him with the headshot.
They had to.
Now, taking control of the situation, even though he's not like a paramedic or anything like that. So I know at my job, when I was on the safety committee and they taught us CPR and all this other stuff there, one of the things they talk to you about is talking with authority. So if an emergency is occurring and you're like, okay, go get me sutures. You go call 911. You can't just say it like, well, okay, someone, you don't say someone call 911. You assign someone something. You call 911 and you like point at them and you talk with authority. And when Travis was there, that's how he was talking. He was like, give me this. Like he didn't sound like that weak guy. You know, he sounded strong. And even though this is not his profession,
right,
like he said, he's taken some classes and those classes have paid off because he took control of the situation.
Hey, did you hear one of the little punks? I thought you was a teacher. What'd you teach again?
Right. I was thinking, like, now is not the time to be going over my resume, dude. Like, your friend's here dying. Doesn't matter what I taught. I obviously know something.
Right.
And you have to remember, the thing that Travis was teaching when we first met him in season one, he was talking about not survival of the fittest necessarily, but, like, it's a dog-eat-dog world.
He was talking about survival.
Survival. And you got to learn how to adapt and everything. So
I think he was talking about making fire.
Yeah, all that stuff. He was talking about all that stuff. I forgot the author of the book that it was based on. That same author came up when we were doing the Night of podcast as well. But I can't. His name is drawn in blank right now. But that's what that book was about. It was about survival, adapting. And even though later on Chris kind of mentions, he's like, I didn't change, or, you know, you thought something was wrong with me, but I was just adapting.
No, he said he thought something was wrong with himself.
Okay, but he was just adapting. Yeah. All right, small like Travis saying we shouldn't be eating the chickens, we should be eating the eggs. Once again, just smart.
It's smart. It's survival.
It's survival. It's a consumable.
Man, they tore that chicken up.
Yeah, all of them. All right. The chickens. They were eating like they had an unlimited supply of food.
They would eat the last breast. They told me it's time to go.
Right. Come right. on now. As soon as they finish eating. They're like the guests that you invite over Thanksgiving, and they eat everything, take plates, go.
And didn't bring and anything.
Didn't bring anything with them. Yeah. That's how they were acting.
Killed somebody while they were there.
Right. All right, so Travis knocking the drink out of Chris's hand. I love that.
Maybe he should have uppercutted Chris.
No, I mean, I don't know. If he did that, Chris would have killed him probably.
He should have smacked him around a little bit.
And this scene right here, all I thought was, oh, I thought two things. Because this is also the same scene where he's telling Chris, like, wipe your mouth. You just killed a guy. And Chris is so, like, no, his manners are gone. Yeah,
so nonchalant about it.
Nonchalant. But not only that, like, I can't even imagine if all of a sudden today the apocalypse happened and you're eating, how is it not instinct to wipe your mouth? Like, it's just something you've been taught your whole life. You know, you'd be looking for a napkin. Even if you have a napkin, you might wipe it on your shirt. But just to sit there with the grease stains, it feel uncomfortable and not natural.
And that's what I said in our instant cast, that Chris didn't change. We're just starting to see it.
See the real Chris.
Yeah, he probably thought something was wrong with him all his life.
Well, I know I go back and forth over can Chris be redeemed or not. And
no.
Well, part of me during this scene when Travis was talking to him, I thought of that episode seasons ago, maybe in season 3 of The Walking Dead, when Carl shot that boy. And remember Herschel, I think, was like, he didn't have to shoot him, like he was surrendering, but Carl shot him anyways. And going back to that scene, did we think at that time, we weren't podcasting yet, but did we think at that time, damn, this little boy's evil? This little boy is going to be a killer? Or, I mean, Carl's mom had just died, I think. I think his mom had died at that point. But I thought of that when I was watching this scene.
So who are you comparing him to? You comparing him to Carl?
Carl. And look at
the guy Carl killed? Carl.
No, I'm comparing him to Carl. And I'm thinking, look at Carl turned out okay.
Man, these are two different people. I mean, this guy's been trying to kill everybody since the show started. Carl was good when it started. And I don't think Carl ever got evil. Carl probably turned into Rick. He doesn't take any chances. But he didn't just wait in the dark with a pitchfork.
Right, right.
And I don't know.
And then the other part of me also thought of the good son. Because as the whole time Travis was talking to him, I was like, dude, I know there's no zombie movies in this universe, but Macaulay Culkin has to exist in this universe. And if Macaulay Culkin exists, that means the good son exists. And that means he shouldn't know that his son is the good son.
I don't know. Two different situations. Even the good son acts good around adults.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay. Yeah, I guess that stumps my theory.
Carl just don't care anymore. Not Carl, but Chris.
Chris, yeah.
Chris just don't care anymore.
All right. When Chris said, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I know it's wrong, but I like laughed. I was like, that was funny. You know, I mean, it was wrong, but it was funny. Now, also, Chris, when this is also another like, but it was a like a show like, but of course it was a character dislike. But Chris was like to Travis, man, like, you proved your worth. Like, that's your daddy. Like, what do you mean he proved his worth? Like, what did you think of that part?
I don't know. Chris is just so far gone. He's gone now. You proved your worth. I mean, if Chris really sat back and thought about it, he's the alpha male right now. No one else has to prove their worth.
Right.
Or who did he prove his worth to?
To the guys.
Which, I mean, I don't see that being necessary. You know, Chris, Killer Chris is the man now.
Right, right.
You know, your father should get a pass. He didn't have to prove anything.
I agree.
But, you know, Chris still, he's still trying to fit in, trying to be accepted.
Yeah, he's still like the kid that got bullied, trying to be accepted.
Right. Like I said, he's an alpha male, but he doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't. Because I think the other two guys would listen to him
right.
if he stepped up to the plate.
Yeah. Like, listen, this is Killer Chris talking.
Right, right.
Now, this is the move we're going to make. And I think they'll fall in line.
I agree. All right, now Travis calls Madison his wife when he gets to the gate. When he was like, hey, he's getting gay. He's like, that's my wife. Pardon me, I thought that was sweet. Like, I don't know for sure. We always said they weren't married, right? Like, I was under the impression they weren't married.
Right, I don't think they were, but does it matter?
No, but I never
thought it mattered.
I thought it was sweet that he was still referring to her. Like, he still sees her as that person for him.
I think he was just trying to get in. He would have said anything.
All right. I didn't know if they were going to let him in. I was surprised about that because there's so many people. I thought they were going to say, like, come back later. Like, you know.
I'm surprised Madison didn't say, who is that?
Right. Who are you?
I mean, she haven't spoke about him since he left.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't think she has.
No, we talked about that. I think she mentioned his name, like, one time and it was in passing.
Okay.
All right. So, Travis going through the home of the guy that Chris killed. I think he, at the time, he was going to look for medicine for James.
Right.
Oh, no, actually, was it?
No. He was going to look for his name.
His name, yep. He was going to look for his name. And I thought that...
Name and a date?
A date of birth. Well, yeah. I don't know if he... Yeah, because he first asked Chris, do you know what date it is? And Chris is like, dude, I lost track. Which, if you remember, in season one, Chris was like, it's been 9 days since da-da-da. Like, whatever happened to that little camera he had of his, you know... Chris has changed, so I would have loved to find out how many days it's been, because when we see he put the date, all he has is 2010.
Right.
But I thought that was cool of Travis to go and look for go and do that extra work and looking for this victim's name.
I'm actually starting to love Travis. I mean, he's a good guy, period. And I always thought he was a little too good. He, you know, he didn't fit into the zombie apocalypse. I want him to die like every episode of
season one. Yeah.
You know, he's my most likely to die. Now he's like one of my, I don't want to say favorite. Yeah, he is. He's one of my favorite characters. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's one of my favorite characters or his scenes are just my favorite scenes of this season.
He's definitely jumping up there into a top favorite.
I mean, I don't want him to die anymore.
Yeah, I don't want him to die. Madison, I'm kind of like, done with her. I've never liked Madison.
We need Maddie.
I never really liked Madison. But Nick, who used to be my favorite, it's kind of like, they got to show me something in this season finale.
Right.
Because he hasn't been doing it for me at all this season. Or Strand.
I'm done with this storyline.
Strand hasn't really been doing anything now that his, you know.
I mean, he's been crying a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we need that emotions.
Yeah.
We need that emotional scenes.
Well, he did get stabbed, so, with a butter knife.
That wasn't even a butter knife.
All right, Travis shooting near Brandon's feet to let him know that he was willing to do what needs to be done. I like that.
I didn't like that. I didn't like it because he shot at his feet and he backed off. The guy was able to pull a gun out on him and he looked scared. Like he didn't just shoot at him.
That's true. Now, one of the biggest likes I thought, and maybe I think you agree, maybe, but hearing this story of how their friend died or how they killed the friend at the end. And how he was begging James not to kill him. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm sick, but don't, like, you know, it was that humanity was coming in there.
Right.
But Brandon was the one that was supposed to kill him, but Brandon didn't have the balls or just couldn't do it. And James is the one that did it, and he says sorry at the end to his friend because that's all he had. And then in the end, of course, that's, we see the same thing happens with James.
Yeah, I really like that scene, but we thought about it in two different ways. We know the guys made a pact that, if I start to die, kill me. I don't want to become a wino, what they call them?
Wasted.
I like wino better. I don't want to become a wino. So if I get sick in, you know, any way or form, shape or form, kill me. Well, we know that Brandon didn't have the balls to do it. So,
James.
So James just killed him. But you said that at the end, Brandon killed James because, you know, he saw how James stepped up the last time.
Right.
I don't think so. I think it was more of a revenge thing.
Okay, yeah, we did talk about this pre-podcast. Now, what did you mean by revenge, though?
Well, James said Brandon didn't have the balls to do it.
Right.
But maybe the other guy was Brandon's best friend. Maybe he didn't want him to die.
Oh.
And when he was begging, don't kill me, and James killed him anyway, you don't know how Brandon felt inside about that. He just watched his best friend, or the other guy could have been a brother, anybody. He could have been closer to him.
Right, right.
It's not that he didn't have the balls to kill him. He probably didn't want to kill him.
Okay. That's a good theory.
So now that James was saying, please don't shoot me, you know, Brandon got revenge. Like, okay, you took my friend from me, and I'm about to take your life.
Right.
Because think about it. They could have just left him.
That's what I don't get. I'm like, why didn't they just leave him?
They could have. It would have been no sweat off their back.
All right. Last on our likes list is Chris playing Travis. When he came in and brought his meal, I should have known something was up. I really should have. But when he's like, oh, they're bored, they're off goofing around, like, I believed him.
Man, Killer Chris is a sociopath.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. But I, as much as I hate the scene for Travis and the fact that he has to now live that his son did that to him, I still love that scene.
What I love more about that scene is Travis patting Chris down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was like, you know, I want to trust you. You don't know how bad I want to trust you.
Right.
I did appreciate that. And that it kind of broke my heart because you think about it as a parent. And although our kids are little, just to think that, you know, 10 years from now or 7 years when they're Chris's age, that we could pat him down or something. Like, it could be that, like, could my kid hurt me? Could my kid kill me? It's not the zombie apocalypse, of course, but to even think that about your kid, like, to see your own child, your own flesh and blood as a threat to you is right. Sad. So I think we kind of have it on our dislikes later on. Travis's reactions to this whole Chris leaving and everything is a little much for us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you put yourself in his shoes, like, that's something that's sad. Like, you don't want to ever be against your kid. That's your kid. You don't want to ever have that issue with your child, you know?
Especially after you gave up everything for your child.
Gave up everything. Left the family that he now made. I mean, you know, he talks about like that, Travis talks later on about that with Madison, saying like, well, he lost his family, but no, he didn't. He always had you guys. Yeah. You know, he always had you. It was a different dynamic than what he was used to, but kids go through divorce and all that stuff every day. I just felt bad for Travis seeing him have to pat his own son down and even later on scenes, even though I disagree with some of it later on, how his emotions and everything, but I liked it when he patted him down, because I was like, damn, that was emotional. That was tough.
Right. And then he was right. You know, Chris turned on him.
Right. Because when we first watched it, even on Instacast, I was like, damn, that's going a little too far. It's a little too soon to be patting people down this early, but clearly it was not, so his instincts are on point.
No, I would have been patting Chris down. But that's another thing. I mean, this is what I was talking about. I don't understand this scene. I loved it. I loved the way he patted Chris down. I even liked the way Chris turned on him. Because, I mean, that just kept the I hate Chris in me. When Chris turned on him,
right?
I was like, cool. You know, I still feel the same way. I still hate it. Well, I actually dislike him more now. But Chris and the other two amigos, they were out there. They were out there with the truck. They could have left at any time. Like, why play these games to get in there just to kill somebody? And that's why I said this was more revenge than anything.
Okay. Well, I kind of had that as our first dislike. Not necessarily why did they have to come in there, but what was the whole point? Why did they have to rush to leave? Like, this whole we need to go.
They were out of chicken. The chicken was gone.
But they don't know where they're going to go to and get food. Why can't you go get food and come back? Or, as you said, just leave him there. Travis kept saying, I'll stay with him. So, yeah, that them wanting to leave so bad, or them not willing to leave James there. And I understand a little bit why they wouldn't want to leave James there, because if they think he's going to turn, it doesn't matter if they're there or not there. If he turns, he turns. So I understand that logic a little bit.
I don't think that pack, I don't think they live by those laws anymore. So I don't think the pact they made that we kill each other if something happened, you know, that's not real. It wasn't real. I still think that Brandon's still upset about James killing his friend, killing another person. After the other person begged.
Right.
Because why would James, why would Brandon kill James and say the same things to James that James said to the other guy?
Right. Like, sorry.
Right.
Like, it was kind of, yeah, you're right. It might be revenge.
Any point, they could have left. They had everything. They packed up the truck. They had the truck. They had it. It's not like James had the keys to the truck in his pocket. They had, you know, he refused, like, oh, y'all can't leave without me.
Right.
And I'm not leaving until I get better. They could have left.
All right, next on our dislike list, and I understand that now they have the power working and everything like that. But even prior to the power working, I don't know, it just hit me last night, I think when we were watching it Sunday night, when Travis and them were on the balcony, Travis and Madison, and I kept thinking, like, how in the hell are they getting to these high floors if the electricity wasn't working prior to this? Like, you're in the hotel, and instead of going to, like, the second floor, you climbing up all those steps to go to, like, 10th floor room or the 17th floor room. Because remember, one of them were like, oh, right, they're on the 17th floor. And that was before the electricity.
Yeah.
So you tell me they walked all the way up 17 flights? Like, I know I might be going too far into it, but...
You got to get that cardio in.
For some reason, I thought of that last night when we were watching again. I think when we saw Travis on the balcony, I'm like, why did they go that high?
During the zombie apocalypse, I want to be in the best shape possible.
Right. Well, we saw, what episode was when they met Jesus? Remember on Walking Dead?
Yeah.
And Rick and Daryl, like, running so fast after the car that he stole. I'm like, damn, I could run for like 10, maybe 30 seconds.
Right.
And, you know, I'd be tired. So, yeah, you got to, if you have no other reason to get in shape, think of if the zombie apocalypse might come, you know?
Yeah. Put me on the 17th floor.
Right. All right, so as we mentioned, Travis's behavior towards Maddie as far as what happened to Chris was a little unbelievable. Because when Madison asks, where's Chris? And Travis doesn't even answer her right away. And he acts like he did something. And then he was like, I had no choice.
Right. I hated that part.
I did too.
Because when you say he had no choice, well, when he said he had no choice, you said, oh my God, he killed Chris.
He killed Chris, yeah. It was like, dude, you didn't. What do you mean you had no choice? Like, you didn't kill him,
right?
And like, he was a baby. And then even when Maddie was kind of like consoling him, she's like, you know, da da da. I felt she was, because her situation was the same as Nick's. Remember, she watched Nick go off.
Yeah,
I mean, she couldn't get to Nick. I think she would have actually grabbed him and physically made him stay if she could have reached him. I think there was a fire or something was going on at the time.
No, she was talking to Chris, and Chris just left.
No, not Chris.
I mean, Nick. Yeah, she was talking to Nick, and Nick just said, we got to go.
But remember, they were like, Maddie, we got to go. We got to go. I think zombies, right. A herd of zombies were right there at the time as well.
Yeah, but there's nothing she could have did about that.
Yeah. But Nick, I think when she was consoling him, I think she was also thinking of when Nick left her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think she probably believed he killed Chris the way he was talking.
Well, and then even the same thing, yeah, she probably did. Even the same thing with this, when he was like, I never thought I would have to tell a soul, like, what I did. Like, what the fuck, Travis?
What the fuck did you do?
Like, come on. They were a little too heavy on his sadness of the situation.
They were too heavy.
Like I said, it's sad. You don't want to end a relationship like that with your own child, but, dude, you didn't kill your kid.
Yeah. I don't think those words would come out your mouth.
Yeah, those words wouldn't come. It wouldn't.
Thought I would never have to tell another soul what I did.
Come on. Like, you beat the kid or something. It was just crazy. What do you mean? And if anything, this kid almost killed you. He put a gun on you last season, you know?
He tackled you this season.
Right.
Let his friend put a gun to your head.
Put a gun to your head. You're absolutely right.
His friend.
Right. His friend that he's known for a week at this point. All right. And then we mentioned it on the Instinct cast, but I'll mention it again here in our dislikes. But... just the whole Travis's long-ass, sad-ass speech on the balcony.
Yeah. Like, if he wouldn't have said all those things that made us think that he, you know, murdered Chris, then I guess the speech would be okay.
Right.
It was just too long, drawn out. He was too dramatic with it. I didn't like it.
I didn't like it. And I think that's something that it's been a criticism of The Walking Dead as well. And even just a lot of TV shows in general, it's... these weird conversations that the characters have or don't have with one another, that's like, people don't have that in real life.
Yeah, those are time wasters for the show.
They're time wasters. No, like, but
oh, we still got 5 more minutes.
No, but they could have easily been like, yo, let me tell you what the fuck just happened. Like,
right.
You know, like, just have a real conversation. Like,
that's what he should have did.
You know, that would have been more entertaining, hearing him relive that
right.
live that scene or whatever.
Maddie, you won't believe this. Right. Now, Chris came in, he tackled me, I was on the ground, gun in my head. I'm thinking I'm going to die.
Right. Add some little dramatics in there, some oohs and ahs, and, you know, keep her guessing. But
I'm thinking shit just got real. But I, you know, being a guy, you have to start lying a little bit, you know, make yourself big. Yeah, but I got out of it quick. I handled my own.
Right. I mean, he definitely, that scene, they could have had, if they needed that to happen, they could have had that scene, but had it much more entertaining and much more realistic.
Yeah.
And then last on our dislikes list, which I already mentioned in our Instinct has, and I think we had someone write in about it, but Madison telling Alicia about her daddy. Upon second watch, I tried to come see if I agree with why she told her. I still don't. I thought it was bad.
I didn't dislike it. It was okay to me. Like I said during our Instacast, I didn't understand it, but I guess it wasn't for me to understand. That's one of those situations you got to be in, so it could be realistic. It may not.
But it was no point. Okay, it was almost like. It was on, okay, remember the Batman movie? Either Batman Begins or whichever, Dark Knight. Remember at the end when Batman was telling Alfred, Rachel's gonna be with me, she said I just gotta give this up. And then remember Alfred, rips up the letter that she left him.
Right.
Saying that she'll never be with him. Because there's no point of telling him now. She's dead. Just to tell him, hey, you know what? She actually left this letter and said she was never going to be. There would be no point. She's dead. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
So, that's how I felt that conversation was. Why? He's dead. She already grieved. She grieved 10 years ago when he died. I mean, 5 years ago whenever he died.
Yeah, she could have left him a hero.
That's what I felt. Yeah, left him a hero. Now she's going to have that tainted image, and especially Alicia still being as young as she is. She's still a teenager. Who knows what crazy thoughts may start running her head. Is it my fault? Was I a good daughter? Was I getting on his nerves?
She might be killer Alicia next season.
She might be killer Alicia. It was just, so just that's joking. Why. Alicia being killer Alicia, I see her more being like a Carol, killing people because she feels she has to, but not just, not on Chris's level, just killing random people because they ate her chocolate bar or something weird like that,
Chocolate bar. Yeah.
But that's what I think of that scene of Alicia saying that to Madison.
You know what? One thing you didn't say during the likes is at the end, we saw the two guys come to the gate without Chris.
Right.
And to me, the suspense, that's a love. That's a like to me.
Yeah.
Because we're looking like, what happened to Chris? And remember in the Instacast, I said when the guy said blood on their face. Mm-hmm. I guess I made that shit up because after second watch, I'm like, Gary, where'd you get that from?
The trailer, yeah. When we watched, I mean, they were probably just super dirty, and I think they grown a lot of facial hair.
Right. So I lied. I lied. I didn't see that. It was just my mom making me. I wanted to see that.
But part of me, and I don't know if I said it on Instacast, part of me, the only reason I'm not super suspicious or what happened to Chris is because. Since they already played the little game with Chris playing Travis earlier, I don't know if their mindset, even on The Walking Dead when they went to Terminus and they hit the weapons, I don't know if they're okay, two of us will go, you stay behind. If we don't come back in half hour, shit just got real in there. Or something like that.
And there have to be another way in.
That too.
I mean, this hotel's in the middle of a desert by the ocean. I don't think the gate that everyone went to, it's the only way in. You could climb a gate around back.
I'm also thinking, this is a nice big hotel. It's on the beach. Why are they, I know they got the power on, but, I was just y'all ain't let us in here. There has to be another hotel within another mile distance. Go to that one and start your own, I don't know, and figure out how to get the power on that one.
But they probably figure, since people have power, they probably have food.
Yeah.
Probably have AC because, it's hot as hell.
Right, right.
They probably figure that it's a community right there.
Yeah.
And during the zombie apocalypse, you want to be around people.
I do wonder, though, if these guys got cleared. Because remember, Alicia or I think Madison earlier said, we're going to check the people out and we'll start releasing some people. So I'm thinking these guys already were there. Maybe at the same time Travis was there and he just couldn't see him because it's such a big crowd. And then they went to the makeshift hospital, which is the parking lot, and they got released. Okay, you guys were going to release five guys, and they released. I don't know where Chris is, but maybe they're actually going to get inside. Maybe they're not approaching the hotel for the first time ever. They actually got released from the makeshift hospital to go ahead and join the community.
That's a good theory. Maybe. I just can't wait to next week.
Yeah, I'm excited. 2 hours is going to be a long time. Hopefully it's good.
I can't wait to see Travis' face when he sees the guys.
When he sees the guys, or if he doesn't see Chris.
Right.
So we'll have to see. All right, so that's it for our likes and our dislikes. We'll move on to listener letters. Remember, you can hit us up, dead@theverdictsin.com. We keep that same email for Walking Dead when it comes back on later in October, and we'll do a recap or season preview for that one. I'm pretty excited. Even every time they show a trailer for it, I'm like, stop showing me these trailers. Like, I'm already excited, you know. But, okay, so, yeah, dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. And then I'll also quickly ask that you guys leave us a review and rating on iTunes. So if you haven't done that yet, go ahead and leave us a review and rating. And make sure you check out all of our other podcasts. You can check that out on our website, theverdictsin.com. That's theverdictsin.com, and you'll see all the other shows that we do. We did American Crime, Season 2.
Great show.
People vs. OJ.
Oh, great show.
The Night Of.
Another one.
Definitely check out our Verdictsin feed, because that's where we have all our shows that don't have its own feed. All right, so today we have a letter from Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. She wrote, "Hello, Nicole and Gary. I've been listening to you guys since Walking Dead Season 6 and love the podcast."
Oh, wow. Thank you.
"In my opinion, this is one of the best podcasts covering Walking Dead." Thank you. Oh, I swear, yeah. I'm not making it up. Those right there. Those words are right there.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Thank you, Nancy. She said, "Trust me, I have jumped off many other Walking Dead podcasts because the hosts become too negative and snobs about the smallest things on both shows, and they make it unbearable to listen to. You guys, on the other hand, review the shows in a fair, humorous, and lighthearted way. Always want to write in, but never had the chance, but I made time today." So thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
"I love both Walking Dead and Fear the Same. That's a first. I don't really hear that many people say they love it equally. Do you?
I think I'm the only person who has ever said that.
Okay.
I said I can't wait for it now.
Right.
So I'm starting to like them. Probably equally, because, yeah.
Okay.
But no, I never heard anyone else say that.
"It may be shocking, but I've been hooked on Fear since the beginning, never been disappointed, just because there's a lot more good than bad in this show. These past episodes have been so good, and tonight had me so tense throughout."
Yeah.
This episode was good. "I know Nicole said on the Instant Cast that the scene with Travis and Madison talking on the balcony was long. I quite liked it, but I kept thinking Travis is going to jump." A lot of people actually wanted him to jump, or wanted Maddie to push him, which was a little crazy.
After the speech?
After
people are cold.
No, I didn't think they just, I don't know, because I was like, I probably would have said that weeks ago, but I like Travis at this point.
Yeah.
I wanted the conversation to end, but I do like him. I didn't want him to die. "Also on the Instant Cast, you guys mentioned about why Madison decided to tell Leisha the truth about the dad. I think Madison hearing Travis saying that when Chris left, he never said that he loved him, that the last thing he said was, 'Damn you, Chris,' and that the way they're living is basically one day at a time. I think Madison realizes that something could happen to either her or Leisha, and she would never have left Leisha not knowing she loves her, that she was sorry for ignoring her, and the truth about her dad. She doesn't want to be like Travis, feeling regret about what she did or didn't say. Better to start off on a clean slate."
Yeah, I like that.
I would agree with you, Nancy. However, during this whole speech, Madison didn't tell her, "I love you. I'm sorry for ignoring you." She didn't say any of those things. She just told her about the dad.
Well, you have to also look at it like this. Like Nancy said, you know, she didn't want any regret like Travis was having. It has to be painful and hurtful to keep a secret in, especially keeping a secret this long. You know, you see your child every day, your child think one thing, and plus your husband committing suicide, that's something you have to live with every day.
That sounds like she's telling her for selfish reasons then, because she's keeping that pain in for herself.
Could be. People feel regret for selfish reasons.
Okay. I understand Nancy's point of view, but I still disagree with Maddie telling her that. Like, you should have let her. She's like, "Yeah, I should have told you this last night. I thought she was going to say, 'I love you.'" She's like, "Your dad." You're like, where the hell? Like, why you should have told me that last night? Like, it wasn't right. It wasn't right. And then she continues, "In all this episode has a lot from Chris being just horrible person, being a horrible person and having no more remorse, even betraying his dad, but acting like he knows or he understands. what Travis was trying to teach him, quickly holding him back while Brandon killed James. Love that Travis kept saying logical stuff like, eat the eggs, not the chicken. Let James recover. It has only been a week. Not to kill James. Just leave him. And James, and right. Leave him and James, and they can go. The end with the Bromiga showing up made me go, oh, no, and damn it. They must have seen the light.
Yeah.
And not the light like they got, a ding in their head. They actually saw the light of the hotel.
Not saw the light in the air or the waves.
Right. Not that type of light. I think there's a good chance they probably ran out of gas on the way to the border. Maybe this is where Travis will have to kill Chris or sacrifice himself. Too many possibilities. Happy we are getting the last two episodes next week.
Right. And Nancy, Travis has to kill Chris. After that speech he had saying that I didn't want to have to do this or I regret this, you got to kill him now.
Right. You did that whole speech.
You already got it out
of
the way.
Right. You got your sorrows out of the way. You better now do it.
Now you just kill him with no remorse.
Right. And then lastly, love that Nicole is always looking into things for more meaning. Yeah. She does too. And Gary calling Alicia, Felicia. Thank you guys. Thank you, Nancy. We appreciate you writing in. And then we have a quick email from Diane. Hey, Diane. Hi, Nicole and Gary. Feeling a little weird after this episode. I find myself understanding Chris's reason for leaving his father. It seemed well thought out. I think he is wrong, but I can see his logic. You know, survival of the fittest, killed or be killed.
Okay.
Now, Nick's reason made no sense at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. He said that. He left his mother and little sister because he wanted to be where the dead are not monsters. Weird, right?
That is weird. Especially when he said, now he needs a family.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Diane. We appreciate that. And she said, sorry for long loving the podcast. No, your email is short. Thank you. Tiffany, who didn't write in today. So hopefully she writes in. But yeah, thank you guys. We always appreciate you writing in. We know it takes time out of your day. So that's a good feedback as far as, though, Chris, her understanding. She's seen it from both angles. She's seeing why Chris left his dad.
Right.
And part of me does, too, which is I don't know why Travis was fighting so hard. Like, at this point, Chris is old enough. Well, he did say he just turned 16. But if you think about it, 16, like, a child can get emancipated at 16. And then you have to think about where your mind frame is at 16. Like, when you were 16. When I was 16, I thought you could tell me anything. I thought I knew everything. And imagine if there was a zombie apocalypse where, like, normal rules went out of the way. I don't think I would be a Chris. But I would probably be like, if I wanted to leave, I would leave because that's just how I felt I was at that time. And I think that's where Chris is coming from.
And plus, this is like a huge relief off Chris' chest.
Right.
That he knows that he's not the only one out there that feels the way he feels.
Yeah.
Like he said, he didn't, he felt bad about the way he was feeling. But now he know that it's normal. Well, really it's not normal. To him, it's normal right now because he found two other people that think just like him.
Right. Why go and back with the family and be considered an outsider if you can go with strangers and be considered family or whatever?
And maybe he was adapted.
Right. All right. So first on our I ain't fearing shit, who do you give it to?
This is a tough one. I don't think I can give it to anybody. Who wasn't fearing shit this episode? I don't know.
I'm going to give it to Travis. He stuck up for himself like so many times. I was like, shut up, Travis, just go with the flow. Like, they're going to kill you and you're fighting so hard for this guy you don't even know. And even Chris was like, you didn't even like James or whatever. So I thought Travis, out of all the people in this episode, he wasn't fearing shit because he did what he had to do. I mean, he shot the guy at the guy's leg. They could have easily killed him right then and there. They pulled their gun out. I don't agree with everything he did, but have anybody on this episode, I would say Travis ain't fearing shit.
Okay, I probably have to agree with you.
All right.
I don't feel like he was completely not fearing shit.
Right.
I guess he's the closest one.
Most likely to die.
Before we say this, I like to say that I was right last week when I said extra number three.
Okay, yeah. Because who was killed? Oh, James.
James
wasn't really an extra, though, but yeah.
I mean, he wasn't one of the main stars.
Right, that's true.
So, I like to say I was right. And next week, extra number four would be killed.
I think since it's a 2-hour season finale, where it's two episodes, because on IMDb it shows an episode 14 and episode 15. So I'm going to say by the end of either episode 14 or 15, we're going to see one of the main cast get killed. And my money is on Chris.
I can't agree with you on that. Chris saved this season. So I don't think they could just kill him off like that. If you think about it, I mean, last season we didn't care too much for him. He wasn't of importance. But we need a Chris. We need a Alicia. We even need a Maddie.
Yeah, but if it's anything to our The Walking Dead history, villains only last for so long. Shane was a villain, but he was a villain like what? Very end of season one and then season two. Governor, yeah, they gave the governor two good seasons of being a villain. Negan will probably get two seasons of a villain, or maybe all of next season, who knows? Or season seven, maybe two. Or what season is it going to be of Walking Dead? Season six or something? I don't even know.
Walking Dead, season seven,
six,
right?
Seven? Is it already seven? Jeez. Yeah, you're right.
Season seven.
Damn. All right, so maybe Negan will be like the villain of season seven, possibly eight. You know, I think villains don't stay on longer than a season, maybe two. So I'm going to say Chris, it's his time to go.
But maybe he redeemed himself. Well, he can't redeem himself to us, but yeah. Maybe he redeemed himself to his father.
Maybe he can leave his father on good terms. Maybe he can right. still live, but he does say, I can no longer live here anymore.
Right. I mean, there's certain people I can't see dying. Travis is one of them. You know what? And I don't want to say this because Nick was my least favorite this season. Well, this half of the season. But I'm going to say Nick. I don't think he's going to make it out of. What is it? What do you call it?
Tijuana?
No. Mulberry. What do you call it?
Woodbury 2.0.
Woodbury 2.0.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it out of it.
All right. Well, let us know what you guys are thinking, especially if you want to give that feedback in before the season finale airs. We would love to hear any predictions or whatever, and we can talk about that when we do our instant cast, dead@theverdictsin.com or @theverdictsin on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.